as we prepare to go to a time of prayer, are there those which we need early today or something like that? But I want you all to know that Transfiguration Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays, and this is a huge passion for me. So I will try to be concise, but I don't make any promises. To be completely honest, next Sunday is truly Transfiguration Sunday, when I will be out of town. But I love this Sunday so much, I was not willing to miss it. So I'm cheating. I moved it up a week. Transfiguration Sunday is the last Sunday in the season after Epiphany. It is really the beginnings of heading towards Lent. Lent will start on Ash Wednesday, which is February 28th. And then our first Sunday in Lent will be March 4th. Lent ends with Holy Week. April 8th will be Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. And then we'll have Maundy Thursday, where we celebrate the Last Supper. Good Friday is really Holy Friday, the day we remember the crucifixion of Christ. And then Easter, the day we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. Lent is really a time of preparation, a time of very intense and special preparation and prayer as we journey with Christ towards the cross. The early Christians used to make this journey with Christ towards the cross of preparation as Lent, as a preparation to die and be raised with Christ in Christian baptism. Now, most of you here probably have been baptized, so this will not be preparation towards dying and being raised with Christ in baptism, but in remembering that. And in remembering, that's what we do again and again. Lent is our preparation towards dying with Christ and being raised again. It's our preparations towards appreciating the sacrifice, the suffering, the death, and the glorious resurrection. Transfiguration Sunday, the scriptures of what happens on the Mount of Transfiguration to me, really show a way in which we can model Jesus in this season. Because Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that his time was getting near. And some of the Gospels say he turned his face towards Jerusalem, meaning he knew that it was time to head towards Jerusalem. It was time to face what was going to happen there. It was time to give his life for us. And right before beginning that journey towards Jerusalem, Jesus invites his inner circle, his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, to go up on the mountain with him to pray. This was Jesus' time of special preparation, and he chose to do it through prayer, but not solitary prayer. Notice he took some very important people with him to make this journey in prayer with him. He goes up on the mountain and he begins to pray, and as he prays, something amazing happens. Now, when Jesus prays, you'll notice in the scriptures, something amazing always seems to happen. People are healed. New events take place. People are even raised from the dead when Jesus prays. Prayer is something that Jesus does often. In fact, when we get to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is betrayed, it will say, after the supper, Jesus went out to pray in the garden, as was his habit. Prayer was Jesus' habit. And before any major event in Jesus' life, including often before he healed someone, he would pray before Jesus heads towards his death and resurrection. Jesus takes time away to prepare for this through prayer. Then, as he's praying, his face changes, begins to glow, and his clothes become dazzling white. In the midst of prayer, it seems that he is touched by God. In fact, that sense of him being fully divine and fully human kind of all comes in one place and in one time. And then two figures come and speak to him and pray with him and minister to him and talk with him. And that's Moses, the great lawgiver of the Old Testament, and Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament. And they actually spend time talking about what is going to happen to him. Now, there's two observers that are watching, or three observers that are watching all of this, and they're very, very sleepy. But they stay awake for this, and they are awed and amazed. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And in Jesus' day, those were the two sections of scriptures. You'll often hear Jesus refer to the law or the books of Moses and the prophets. In a sense, Jesus is taking time out, not just to pray, but to consult the scriptures. I kind of like the way other translations talk about Peter, James, and John when it says they were becoming very heavy with sleep. But when Elijah and Moses show up, man, they are wide awake. They aren't missing a thing, and they begin to see what has happened to Jesus as he's prayed, and they've barely stayed awake. He's become glorious. They begin to get involved in what's going on, it seems, because Peter seems to just have this awe. Have any of you ever had an incredible mountaintop experience? Have you ever gone away to a retreat where it just seemed like, you know, the whole time you were there, you know, you're just arm in arm with God, you know? You're just having this wonderful time. It seemed like Christian fellowship was everywhere. And you breathed the air, and it was just saturated with the Holy Spirit. And it was almost like, you know, you didn't have to walk. You could just float to the next event. Maybe it wasn't that spectacular, but have any of you ever been someplace that you're just like, whew, this is good to be here. If life could just be like this all the time, if we could just live here. My aunt went on vacation to Puerto Rico. She fell in love with it. And she actually did that. She turned her vacation into the rest of her working life. She's going to retire from working in Puerto Rico this year. She never came back from her vacation. Well, that's what Peter wants to do. He wants to never come back from this. This is an amazing moment. And boy, can I appreciate that. Ah. Those moments when I felt so close to God. Those moments when I was with other persons of like mind and who were so mature in the faith and were ministering so to me and to others. You know, I just never wanted to leave. So I really can identify when Peter says, man, it's good for us to be here. This is great. How about we build three little huts? One for Elijah, and one for Moses, and one for Jesus, and we just stay here forever. The scripture says, Peter did not know what he was talking about. It doesn't say that because being on the mountain wasn't a good place. It was. It doesn't say that because being on the mountain wasn't important. It was. This was a serious and important time of preparation. Jesus was going to face the biggest trial of his life, giving his life for us. He was not going to take that task lightly. He took time away to pray and to consult with others of great faith, and to consult with the men of Scripture. He took with him his disciples to share this experience with, and I think because he truly believed that where two or three are gathered, more powerful things can happen in God. It was an important place to be. It says he didn't know what he was talking about, because God, as great as being on the mountain was, God was going to do something even greater with what they had experienced there. Even greater. He was going to do something even greater in Jesus Christ and forgiving our sins through his death. He was going to do something even greater through Jesus Christ and raising him from the dead that we might have eternal life. But what God was going to do that was even greater was not going to stop there. He was going to do things even greater for Peter. Pentecost, the founding of the church, the witness to the ends of the world. Peter was going to be a part of that. So were James and John, and there would be many others. God, it was not a good thing to stay on the mountain forever. Not because the mountain wasn't a good place. Peter didn't know what he was talking about because he didn't understand that even greater things were to come. It is my belief that even greater things are still to come. That God has done amazing things throughout history and continues to want to do amazing things. He wants to do amazing things through Bethel United Methodist Church. He wants to do amazing things through Julia and Anna and Sarah. And this is the thing that really just I find so incredibly wild. God wants to do amazing things through me. I am really excited about that. And Lent is our special time of preparation as we take seriously that God is at work and that God wants to use us. And as we take seriously those last verses of this scripture, then came from the voice, from the cloud, a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Lent is our time to listen. And we do that through prayer and preparation, so that we can be ready to come down from the mountain and journey to that cross. We're not going to stop there. We're going to go on to the resurrection, to Pentecost, and to what God is about in our midst today. So this is my invitation to you. I want you to get out the bulletin insert. And I want you to turn it to the side that says, Lent, a season of prayer and preparation. And I want to challenge you to take some mountaintop time this Lent, to take some time to prepare for that journey to the cross, and to do that in some significant way. Now, there are some choices on here, and I want you to get a pen out. Because you know what? We have found that when you make a decision, when you make a goal, and you write it down, you're more apt to do it. Read through those. What of those is God calling you to do as a preparation for Lent this year? Would you make a commitment? Maybe a commitment that's just a little bit more than what you would normally do in a church season, for this special season of preparation for Lent. Maybe you're going to make the commitment that you're going to come every night to the prayer study workshop. Maybe you're going to make a commitment that you've never been to one of these studies, but you're going to come to at least one this time around. Maybe you'd like to make a commitment to be to our time of prayer at 9:45 every Sunday morning. Maybe you don't drive at night. and have always wanted to participate in a study. Maybe you don't have evenings free, but you can come to the Lenten Sunday School class. Maybe it'd be enough to make some commitment about how you're going to come to worship this Lent. And perhaps, if God isn't speaking to you through any of those things, maybe this Lent, what God is calling you to do is set aside a special time of prayer. Once a week, every day of the week. Depends on where you are now with your prayer time, or what step would make sense. Maybe it's a time of reading the Scripture. Or maybe it's that God is calling you to set an appointment with another Christian friend and just spend some time in conversation about faith or each other's life, that you might pray for each other. I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray about it and think about it in silence. And then we'll close our service with our closing hymn. Lord, it is my prayer that during this time of Lent, the season of prayer and preparation, that you would prepare us, your people, to listen to your voice, to hear your call, and to step forward just one more step, that we might be a part of all that you are doing, that we might receive your love and know that your grace is good and that it pulls us forward into even better things. We praise your holy name, Lord. Amen.